Dibs says take the Texans -7.5. Now back to your regularly scheduled 49er phone calls. Burns in the city. Hi, Burns. What you doing?
Not much, guys. I just got home. How are y'all?
You know, we're hanging.
Yeah, I can see why everyone's trying to bust, but I think it's a little premature, you know what I'm saying? So, my take for today, honestly, is like, I want to quote Kendrick Lamar, when poop hits the fan, are you still a fan? Because all I'm hearing is a bunch of 40 whiners out there, you know? Because we understand, right, that Kyle Shanahan is the brain to the body that is our football team. As a former football player in high school myself, like, that body is beat up. And when your brain cannot keep up with that body, like, sometimes you just got to accept what's coming with you and roll with those punches. And, you know, that confused statement that Shanahan made in his little press conference right there, I feel like that's the entire of the Niners right now. We're a little confused. We don't know what's happening. People are hurt. And this window, Willard, is still open. We got to look at 2020. 2020 is kind of what happened after the Super Bowl, right, in 19. It's the same thing. It's a repeat. I knew this was going to happen this year. People are going to be beat up. People are going to be hurt. We got to give them at least till next year. And then I don't know why people are coming down John Lynch's road. Do you not see all the rooks that are playing and actually putting in meaningful time on this squad? I don't know what people are getting on the Niners for. It's literally like, we're still 5-5. A third of the league is absolute trash, and we have, like, a happy medium. Can we just be happy, man? Can we just be happy?
No.
Thank you, Burns.
Yeah, Burns, thank you, Burns. No.
And appreciate you hitting the high notes, too, at the end. That was good.
I mean, first of all, the larger sense, yes. I hope everybody is always happy. I hope you're happy every day, and I hope you don't tie your happiness to a sports team. However, that said, no. I don't think that you can assess 49er football right now and just be happy and give everybody a pass on these performances based on injuries. I don't understand that. I don't feel that. I don't think that. There are teams all over the league that have injuries. The Niners have gotten at least their share, if not more. And if that lessens their performance, that's fine. Here's the problem with that. The problem with that is you watched the game. You saw now three times against division foes that the Niners were the better team, the team that had the lead in the fourth quarter, and then they lost those games. So if you are blaming injuries and you go out there and you just flat out get outplayed because you don't have any people, well, then that's one conversation. That's not what's happening. So you clearly have enough people, you have enough good people to go out there and look like the better team and perform like the better team and set yourself up to be the better team and get the lead in the fourth quarter and then lose the football game. I can't blame injury for that. You can't play well for 3 3/4 quarters and then lose the game and go, oh, well, we didn't have Kittle. Well, but you were ahead.
Yeah.
You were ahead without Kittle.
Yeah, and you were doing fine moving the ball before CMC came back.
Yes.
With Jordan Mason, and now he gets 2 snaps. And so you can blame whatever you want to blame, but you had the lead, like you're saying. The defense is allowed to stop Seattle, too. And when, you know, Seattle drives 80 yards in just a couple of minutes to win the game, the 49ers could have, you know, brought some pressure or maybe played a little bit more sticky man coverage. Felt like they were playing off a lot. And it's also something you can look at with, you know, Deebo Samuel, who has 1 receiving touchdown. He's got 1 rushing touchdown. He's having a down year. And Brandon Ayuk skipped out on camp and then got hurt. And Trent Williams hasn't played up to his standard this year. So all these things are true, and they all lead to, you know, it's not injury. Trent's missed a game, and Deebo missed a game, but they're back and playing, and yet it hasn't been good enough.
No, I mean, it's all adversity. I give the Niners all of the nod for the adversity they've faced, but if they were 5-5 because they got outplayed 5 times, okay. But they're 5-5 and they've been outplayed 2 times. That's a huge problem.
Yeah.
That's a huge problem that deserves being addressed. Sean in Petaluma next up on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Sean. What are you doing?
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
Hey, not much. So I just want to give a quick little, analysis of the Niners. I think it's a mix of coaching, Shanahan being too predictable and just not adjusting. I think it's also a little bit of, the core players. They've already been through more seasons than players that, don't make playoffs. You know what I mean? With the run that we have been on. We had, and I hate saying this, but if we had won the Super Bowl, the conversation would be completely different, right? But we didn't. But we still, the players have been working and grinding, as they have. So I think they're burnt. It's a mix of everything, but at the end of the day, something does have to change, and that's all I got. Thank you.
Sean, thanks. That makes me think of, and I don't know, if you saw this video get pulled back, it was making the rounds again today on social media, and I think for a good reason. Do you remember before the year started, Manti Te'o went on ESPN, I think it was, and they were talking about the 49ers, and he had just watched one of their preseason games. So we're talking about a very small sample of starters. But Manti looks at it and he goes, I'll tell you what, I watched that team play just body language, movement, and everything going on, and they look emotionally spent. And this is before the year even started.
Yeah.
Okay? They're going through all the Ayuk stuff. Okay, actually, here, we've got the sound. This is Manti Te'o before the year even starts.
I think for the past 5 to 10 years, we've got so accustomed to the San Francisco 49ers walking around not only the NFC West, but the NFL in general as these big bullies. You watch Trent Williams and Deebo Samuel coming out of the locker room with that bump box, and you watch them get into that scuffle in the pregame, and you watch their dominant defense and their run game. We got so accustomed to that. I flipped on the TV and watched their past two preseason games when their starters played, and I just see an emotionally drained team.
An emotionally drained team. I will say, I think he's on to something there. Is that excusable or whatever? Yeah, you form your own opinion. I think there's something to that.
Yeah, and that is the definition of a Super Bowl hangover, is that sort of a mindset. And that was Manti Te'o from NFL Network. Mm. And, that to me is the only thing you could attribute a real Super Bowl hangover too, if players are having trouble getting up for it and getting ready and, climbing that mountain again. Because you think about it, and you go through 17 regular season, 3 playoff, you get to the Super Bowl, you go to overtime and you lose, and it's heartbreaking. And then you go through the offseason stuff, and then you get ready for camp in July and August. It's like, oh my God, to get back to where we were, we have to go through another 17 of these. They have to go right, then the playoffs, then the Super Bowl, and then we have to try to win that. So it is absolutely a burden when you try to do that, for any player that goes that deep in a season.
Football version of the Warriors. What did we notice the last two seasons? And I think at times we didn't really know how to put a finger on it. But what was obviously missing? The joy.
Yep.
The joy of Warrior basketball. It was gone. Draymond punched Jordan Poole. Little did we know that already while that was happening, Klay Thompson was a fiery, emotional mess. And that continued for a full another season after the departure of Jordan Poole. And you could see it, I think, last year. You could really see it. You and I did shows on Klay. Why are you so angry? Why do you look so angry on the court? And I guess the only answer we can come with, because we're never going to know exactly what's going on inside of a locker room, the only answer we can come up with is if you look like you've lost the joy, you have. And there's a reason for it. And I don't know if it's emotionally spent or if who knows what else is going on. Someone called in today and said it's that damn MAGA hat from Nick Bosa. I don't think it's that. But we're all searching. We're searching for what it is that is making the Niners look like everything is difficult and everything is stressful. And I bet we can all relate to that. Y'all ever get stuck in a spot in your life where it's just like, damn. I mean, like every day it's this or it's that and it's a slog and I just can't get it going. I can't have things feel light. Last year, everything felt so light. Everything they tried worked. This year's the opposite. And I don't know if it's as simple as play calling, Locker room stuff, emotional hangover from the Super Bowl.
Sure.
All of it.
Well, and the disease of me part of it too, where McCaffrey suddenly wants a new deal and he gets it and then he's hurt. Trent Williams, I'm not going to camp unless I get my money. He doesn't. He gets it, and then he's getting, you know, oxygen throughout the first two or three games because he's not in shape. Ayuk with the hold in held all of us virtually hostage in the offseason because he wanted his money and all the rest of it, and then you deal with a quarterback making peanuts, and you go out in the season, and it doesn't come to you as easily. And you mentioned the Warriors, and I'm just going back in my mind because they lose the finals in 2019. You lose KD and Klay, and then the next year is the pandemic year, and Steph got hurt, and Draymond shut it down. The year after that, you're in the play-in, and you lose two games, and you don't advance. So over that time, you develop the hunger again, right? Because it had been a few years, and the core thought we had one more run in us, and then you go out, and then you win the chip again. And maybe it just is going to take the 49ers to have a season where you get the hunger back. And
yeah,
you lose three or four close ones, and you can't hang with Green Bay and Buffalo, and you wind up 8-9 on the outside looking in. Then you realize, okay, we want to get back there, and that maybe it takes that to get you the hunger back.
Maybe, and more roster turnover.
For sure.
You know, I mean, that's the one thing where I will agree with people when they say the window's closing. I don't think the 49er window is closing. I think the Fred Warner, Debo Samuel, George Kittle window.
Trent Williams
is closing. Christian McCaffrey. That window is closing. Absolutely. And that's where the desperation comes from. That's why you hear Fred Warner after the game say, this is infuriating.
Yeah.
Because that clock is ticking, I think. Let's go to Joe in San Jose. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Hey, thank you for taking the call. It was sure nice meeting you guys the other night up at the Return of Klay.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Thanks for coming to say hi.
I think you kind of said it best with the one word earlier. You mentioned the word stale, and I really feel that word in a nutshell kind of sums up what's going on with Kyle and the play calling. And I think you see it a lot of the time when you watch the game. I mean, our yak yards are super down. I think the coverage on our receivers, Brock is having to stay in the pocket a long time, trying to find somebody, and then he's having to run or he's having to make a play or do something. I think the secret's out. When you attain greatness like the Niners have for as many years as they have the past few years, getting, to the Super Bowl a couple times, getting to the title game, people watch your films. The other teams, they take note of that. They want to beat you. You put a big target on your chest. You become the people to beat. And I think that, the Niners really need to take a page out of what the Warriors have done, like with Kerr. They went out, brought Stackhouse in. They need Kyle needs to allow the organization to bring some fresh eyes, some fresh blood in and assist him and mix some things up, because I think the secret is just out on him and his playbook and his system. And I think that it's becoming more and more painfully evident.
Joe, thanks. My perception is that's a constant thing. Like, I don't think that Kyle Shanahan has been doing something for 20 years in the league, and all of a sudden people woke up in August and went, we figured it out. Like, I think that Kyle Shanahan has had to make adjustments before, and has.
Yes.
Successfully.
But I'm not seeing it this year.
Not seeing it this year.
This year looks a lot like last year from a schematic and a play structure standpoint. The big difference is last year they were unstoppable, and this year they're very stoppable. And I do think that part of it is Debo Samuel for me, and maybe it's just a small sample from this past game, but he looks a little bit slow. He looks like he's not, the ferocious Debo that we all remember. And I pointed out earlier, just two touchdowns on the year, one receiving, one rushing. And I don't look at this offense and see when George Kittle's not in there, I don't see a lot of weapons that you really have to, like, scheme for or scheme against. Even Christian McCaffrey, who's not...
I don't think
McCaffrey is back to 100% yet.
Chicken or the egg? Chicken or the egg? In other words, do Debo and Christian and all of these people suddenly look slow? Or is it that there's no space and so there's nowhere for them to go and they look slow because you can't get them out in the open field?
Probably a little both, but Joe, the caller, made a good point about yak yards, and this year in yards after the catch on passes, Brock Purdy is 17th in the NFL.
Yeah,
because last year he was 4th.
Dude, you've noticed this. Like, right now, when his receivers catch the ball, they're wearing backpacks that are wearing the other jersey. It's insane. Juwan Jennings is making catches where people are literally hanging on his shoulder pads. You can't yak that way.
You can't. But you can yak when you have a quick throw to Debo behind the line of scrimmage or a screen, something that we don't often see.
But they're waiting for it now. They've been trying that. They've been doing that. They're waiting for it now.
Not a lot of screens. I don't think they ran even one screen in yesterday's game.
No.
Some play action. Get the quarterback out and just try some new things, because what they have been running, and it's difficult when your offensive line is not great and the interior three has been a problem and your right tackle has at least a couple of big whiffs a game. So if you can't protect, you can't do anything anyway.
888-957-9570. Speak to your frustrations. Oh, baby. Oh, baby. Kurt in Hayward Hills. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. How you guys doing? Not too good today for Monday.
Regarding
the 49ers,
huh? Not too good, Kurt.
Not too good. But anyway, everybody's knocking the coach. Kyle, that's a bunch of crap. This guy's an excellent coach. I don't want to hear anything about putting his coach down. Look what he's done. I mean, we've been to a Super Bowl. He's done a lot of things the last 5 years. I mean, I don't got anything on the coaches except for the defensive coordinator. I may got something on him on the last 80 yards that they won the game on. That's a bunch of crap, not holding him up. But I'm going to tell you one thing. I've been studying the team. This is not a coach problem. This is players. I've been studying the players, and I do not see gang tackling. I don't see the offensive line pushing the defense out of the way to run the ball like we used to. We don't run to the left anymore by the big tank. We don't run over by his side. There's a lot of things. And you can't win any games if you can't win in the red zone. Mm. Come on. What a story with these guys. We're the worst in the red zone this year. 17 points is not going to do it for us. It's not going to do it. I'm not blaming Kyle. I'm not blaming the quarterback. I'm blaming the players. I don't see any kind of extra effort like was there last year, or anybody knocking somebody on their ass or anything like that going on this year. The players is a big problem here. They got a lot of talent still, even though we're injured, a lot of talent. But the bottom line, the players are not doing their job. Bottom line, it's the players. And as far as in Green Bay, I'm not going to say anything yet. It's too soon. But get out of here, Green Bay.
I love it, Kurt. Thank you. You wait for it every time.
It's like, I love all the other stuff he says, but none of it matters without the big finish.
Yeah, you got to have it.
You got to have it, man. Now,
Love is a little run.
Forget about it.
And by the way, this was an actual sentence. I'm not blaming Purdy. I'm blaming the players.
That's right.
Oh,
he's a player.
Isn't he?
Last I checked.
He got a helmet, right?
And they're not running it behind the big tank on the left side.
I mean, I guess the only thing Kurt is sort of pointing to,
That's a bunch of crap.
Yeah, well, if this is sort of like, if this is the thing, if it's a player thing, and he sort of sounds like he's pointing to effort, then I guess you're talking about the idea of the Niners being emotionally spent. But, you know, this ends up being sort of tit for tat and whatever spot you want to use for your perspective on this. Is it the players? Is it the coach? I mean, look, it can be all of those things.
It is all of them.
But if you've got something that's happening across the board, penalties all the time, special teams all the time, defense in the fourth quarter all the time, offense most of the time, all of a sudden, you know, Kurt's like, what's up with these guys? It's the same guys. Like, there's a couple new people here and there. These are the same people. The same people who we all wanted to buy jerseys last year. Now they can't get a first down. But it's the players? That's why, to me, it has to be, to some degree, the coaching, the scheme, what have you. There's no space. The entire 49er roster didn't get slow over the last 8 months. Something else is at work here.
Yes, and I will allow that as fact, but you also look at the players, and the players have to go out there and make plays. And you can scheme up whatever you want, whether it's a punt coverage and you have a guy blow an assignment and they give up a 50-yard punt return and you end up losing that game. You can blame the coach, or you can certainly blame the player. And yesterday's an example where there were plays to be made by the players, and the scheme may not have been great all the time, but ultimately the players have to go out in those 3 hours, as Kyle was saying earlier.
No doubt.
It's
all of
those,
yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
about those 3 hours, and you know, you have a defense that, okay, get a stop and win the game, and Geno Smith leads them 80 yards down the field in pretty easy fashion. There was a couple of good throws on the sideline, and Kyle with the failed challenge, which the second one I thought that he was going to get back.
Which one was the second one?
There was two on the sideline.
There was the JSN, and then there was the DK.
Yeah, the DK one was the first one. The JSN one, I thought he was going to get
I definitely
overturned.
Thought so. And I know you guys laughed at me on the thread by saying it was as clear as day. When I say clear as day, because it was close as hell, but when you have the slow-mo super ability that these guys do to zoom in on it, yeah. I actually took a screenshot of it.
No, that was the first one, yeah, okay. The JSN.
JSN was out of bounds. He was out of bounds. I have a screenshot of it. You can zoom in. You can see that the foot slides right off the green into the white before the ball is completely secured. But I'm not saying it wasn't close. I'm not saying it wasn't difficult. I certainly don't blame the officials in real time. But it's getting pretty frustrating how many times the technology seems to be available to the viewer, and it's not translating the same way to whoever is making these decisions.
I don't think that was a technology one, because I didn't think it was clear as day.
What I'm saying is the technology is there for you to zoom in and see that the foot's out of bounds.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't think the foot was out of bounds.
I'll show you the picture I took.
Well, it depends. Thank you.
Took a picture.
I know you did. You were pretty adamant on the show thread.
It's proof. I have a picture of the ball is not in his arms and the foot is on the white. It's proof. It's indisputable. It's indisputable.
I'll punch the play up over here.
I've got a picture. I've got a video. I've got all these things.
I get it. Yeah, you're forensics. You get
Thank
real
you.
Forensical when it comes to
well,
the officials.
I actually, and by the way,
the DK one was the one that I thought was going to get overturned. That was the second one.
That one's always tough when it's like, is the first foot, do they have it secure? Well, the first foot is down. Listen, I can handle the idea. This is sports. You're going to have calls that go the way that you don't agree and frustrating and all that. Do you want to know what really, really made me mad? And you know this about me. This is where baseball umpires usually do it, when they throw a manager out because they screwed something up.
Yeah.
That's what I hate. Don't make a bad call and then double down on it by throwing somebody out because they're mad at you because you made a bad call. That's where replay assist needs to jump in. There was a play in the Vikings-Titans game yesterday where on a third down, Darnold throws to Jordan Addison in the end zone, and the Titans safety made a beautiful play. Just a beautiful shoulder lead to the midsection, dislodge ball, but it looks in real time like one of those headhunter plays. So they throw the flag, and I'm like, I get it. I get why you throw the flag. But the replay shows that it is absolutely a gorgeous, clean play. Now, replay assist, where are you?
Yep.
I'm not saying you need to overturn it because it's not overturnable. But whisper to the refs,
hey, we got that one wrong.
You should huddle, yeah.
Because at minimum, even if you can't overturn it, when the Titans sideline loses their bananas, don't throw another personal foul and shove this thing to the one-inch line so the Vikings can fall in the end zone, score a touchdown. Don't do that.
They did call a 15.
They did. They threw another flag.
That's rare.
Because the Titans were livid, and rightfully so.
They usually don't do that in the NFL.
They did.
But they must have said the forbidden
said
phrase.
The magic word.
The one thing about sports is you can curse at a ref as long as you leave the pronoun out of it. As soon as you use the word
the pronoun.
You,
oh.
So, like, if you can...
The bleep is fine.
Oh, yeah, what the bleep...
Bleep or, you
or
is not.
That was bleep and bleepity bleep right. And all the rest of it. Or, you know, if you get to the you or the your...
But you're a bleeping astronaut is not okay.
No.
That's a bunch of crap.
That's right. That actually works.
Can you, and you can even tell... I think you can do that.
You sure can.
Actually, hey, there's my two great fellas.
All right.
Let's you took? The picture of this? Of him on his knees with his toes.
And there's video. I have video also of the slides so that you can see the ball. I mean, it's right there. He's out of flipping bounds.
Right here, he's in bounds, but.
Where?
Right here. And the ball is entering his hands.
What are you talking about? This entire.
Get out of here.
I'm over it.
You're never over
Travis
it.
Travis in Oakland. Well, would you just give me that talking about officiating with you is challenging?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, that's all
Can
I want.
Can you just give it to me that 99% of you don't know the first thing about what you're talking about when it comes to officiating?
I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to officiating. I know right. When someone's foot is on white grass. Right. I know that.
Okay.
That I know. I don't need to read a rule book to be like, that foot is on white grass.
So you and your camera from your couch are more qualified to make that judgment than the paid professionals?
I was at my kitchen table, thank you.
Okay, apologies.
And it was 10:30 at night, and I was slowing the video down because I had curiosity. And I know that killed the cat, but it also killed the call in this case. Let's go to Travis in Oakland. Hi, Travis. What's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? I can admit I probably don't know much about officiating, so I'll start the call out with that there.
Good job, Travis.
Thanks. That's why I'm a sales guy. Few points. Now I'm kind of questioning my original point around Sorensen of, like, you know, beginning of his player effort thing, but I'll stick to my guns here. Watching this team all year, a constant theme listening to the Morning Groves, you guys on the way home, there's no pressure on the quarterback, right? Am I crazy, or... The once feared, 49ers nasty defense that at any point can turn the game around, right? I'm not getting that, especially from the front part of the line. And I attribute some of that to, obviously, roster. But also, it just feels like Sorensen's scheme at times is just so uncreative and uninteresting as a whole. The other thing I love you guys' take on that. The other thing I wanted to add was he has to be one of our least likable D coordinators in I mean, God, under the Shanahan era for sure. Like, D'Amico made you want to run through a brick wall. Same thing with Salah, right? Like, I see Sorensen on the sideline, and I'm just like, God, how do these guys want to get up, you know, for him? Especially all the Wilkes stuff last year. Remember the whole thing was, well, Wilkes isn't on the sideline. What does Sorensen do on the sideline?
Well,
you know what I mean?
Like, I do. And Travis,
Thank you, Travis. 16th in the league in pressure rate. So
the Niners?
Yes.
Okay.
And blitz rate, they are 30th in how often they blitz.
Here's what I'm going to say with regard to Nick Sorensen, and I'm going to admit right out, this is not fair. Like, there are a lot of defensive coordinators in the NFL who are doing a really good job, and I'd argue you don't even know who they are. You don't know where they stand. And you don't know what they look like. But when you're a fan of a team, you know your coaching staff. And Nick Sorensen suffers from Brandon Beltism and Brandon Crawfordism. He does. Like, that look on his face, he looks bored and he looks confused. And he looks like he's scrunching his nose a lot. Now, I have no evidence that that means you can't be a good defensive coordinator. But I do understand fan media perception. And when you have a season that's not going well, and when you have a couple of blown leads in the fourth quarter, and your defensive coordinator sort of looks like the guy who fell asleep in class and his jaw is hanging open, it doesn't work well for fan perception.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means as far as actual play calling.
Right. It doesn't mean anything if you win, and if you don't win, then it means a lot. And, you know, Steve Wilkes got kind of thrown under the bus by Kyle Shanahan last year, which ratcheted up people's displeasure with the job he was doing, even though they went to the Super Bowl and he was not retained. And he was, you know, they moved on from Steve Wilkes. Maybe the fit wasn't good, but seems like Steve Wilkes had a good enough year that helped you get to the Super Bowl. And yet this team is 5-5.
Well,
you know,
I really wish the Wilk stuff wouldn't keep coming up, and here's my quick take on that. There's this comparison piece as if Steve Wilks got fired for cause, and I don't think it's fair. I don't think it's right. Steve Wilks didn't get fired because he, quote, did a bad job. Steve Wilks, I think, got let go because the whole group felt like it wasn't a good fit. So, like, but too often we're going, where's this energy for Sorensen?
Yeah.
But you're looking at last year as if Steve Wilks, they went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Steve Wilks didn't suck. He didn't do a bad job. I think that players were expressing confusion throughout the year. I think they felt like they could have been better. They had great players. I think that Kyle and Steve at times were like not necessarily on the same page. That doesn't make Steve bad. He didn't get fired for doing a bad job. I just don't think that they thought it was the right fit. So when we compare, you know, Nick Sorensen, like, I don't know, we're way too early in the process. And I don't even think most people right now are pointing to the defensive side of the football, at least not today.
Right.
Today feels like an offense day.
Well, I wonder how people will answer that, and we can get into it more tomorrow about, you know, which one was it, the offense or the defense? Because I thought the defense was pretty good for the most part, and then you need your defense to be good, and they weren't.
Yeah.
And, you know, the offense put them in a tough spot, and Kyle even said that today in his teleconference that, you know, if we were able to get a few first downs and stuff and, you know, go ahead and grind that game out, the defense doesn't have to go back out on the field. But the offense couldn't do it, so the defense had to go out and get a stop, and they didn't.
No doubt, no doubt. I mean, by the way, the opposite point on D coordinators, there's no evidence that if you jump all over the sideline and pump your fist and slap people on the helmet, there's no evidence that that makes you a good defensive coordinator.
No, but there is evidence that fans will like you more.
Yes, absolutely.
And Steve Wilks, by the way, was not a slap you on the back guy either. He was up in the box.
Yeah, he was super chill.
He was in the box until he got brought down, until they forced him to come down.
I mean, you can be Dan Campbell, you can be Tony Dungy, and you can be good. Either way.
Vic Fangio is sort of built for this.
One of the best to ever do it. And you would look at Vic Fangio, and he's got his readers hanging off his nose.
Totally.
And he's about 87 years old. You know?
Right.
And he's considered one of the all-time greats.
I love the young people.
Thank you, Vic. Let's go to Larry in the East Bay. Hi, Larry. What's up?
Hey, fellas. How's it going? I was listening to you earlier about defensive stats. Well, the Niners is what, second to last, third, 29th and fourth quarter giving up points? Like, that is horrid.
In the last 2 minutes,
and
Larry,
I'm not here.
Just in the last 2 minutes, I wanted you to make sure we're clear on that. They're not second to last in fourth quarter total points.
Okay, so they give up a lot of they rank in the bottom five of the league and giving up points in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, they're 27th. They give up 8.8 per game ahead of only four teams.
And so that's a problem if it's causing you to lose games. And I'm not here to get on Nick Sorensen because, I mean, they picked him. They seen something. And I heard you say fit. I don't know if this is a fit. It's not that productive. And then one other quick thing. I'm going to say, I'm 55, and I went to the 1981 parade when the Niners won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And the problem is the standard in San Francisco. If he was in Jacksonville, if he was in Carolina, if he was in Atlanta, then getting to the Super Bowl and saying, oh, we've been great, I don't know how that constitutes greatness, but they have a standard here. You wonder why the Cowboy fans feel like they feel? Because there's a standard. Pittsburgh fans, there's a standard.
Yeah,
San Francisco fans, there's a standard.
But Larry,
and
Pittsburgh,
when you don't hit that standard,
but Pittsburgh
it's a
fans,
problem.
but Pittsburgh fans are holding on to their coach, and I know he won one before. Larry, thank you. They're holding on to their coach, who has been kind of like a first round. I mean, he gets more out of his team than you'd think, but he's a first round out every year. Dallas, there's a standard. Are you sure? I mean, who the hell has been hitting that standard for the last 30 years?
That's been
they don't even go. They don't even go. Do you think Jim Harbaugh's a good coach? Do the Chargers feel like they've got a good coach? Because he's the same thing. He
no
went
doubt.
To a Super Bowl, didn't win one. So I just think that all of these things need to be contextualized, all of them.
For sure.
And you sort of made it sound like Kyle just, you know, he accidentally went to a Super Bowl one year. No, this has been a sustained...
But he's been to two.
Yes, and when he doesn't go to the Super Bowl, he goes to the game before the Super Bowl. I mean, this has been a sustained run of winning.
That's why this year is so head-scratching.
It's very frustrating.
And Larry with a great point about fourth quarter points allowed, and yep. I mentioned that they are tied for 27th. Last year, they were number one. They gave up 3.7 per fourth quarter. This year, they're at 8.8. So is that coordinator? Is it players? Is it? It's probably both.
I hope that nothing I'm saying makes y'all think that I'm sold on Nick Sorensen. I've been saying all day, jury out. I have no idea what to do with quite frankly any side of the ball right now.
Right.
I don't have any firm decision of thumbs up. I have a firm thumbs down on special teams.
Yeah.
And
the special teams coordinator is widely regarded as one of the best in football.
I know it. And I also feel like this is not the first time a Kyle Shanahan team has been wobbly with special teams. I think the offense is disappointing this year. I think the defense is certainly at times disappointing this year. The whole thing's disappointing. Nobody. Yeah. Juwan Jennings, that's who's immune.
George Kittle.
And George.
George Kittle's been amazing.
That's about it.
Yep.
That's about it. Let's go to Ryan in Irvine. Hi, Ryan. Thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey guys, one positive thing from yesterday, Kansas City lost. So
big if true.
That's kind of good, I guess. I'm watching the Texans Cowboys game right now, and Cowboys just went for a fake punt, and the Texans were all over it. D'Amico runs onto the field, high fives everyone. Their special teams coordinator is high fiving everyone. Then they come right out there and throw an interception on fourth down.
A bad one,
too. They turn the ball over back to the Cowboys. And you know what he did? You know what D'Amico did? He was out there high-fiving the guys, hitting them on their helmets. Just, you know what I mean? To me, I feel like I just listened to that press conference with Kyle. He sounds dejected. It's been a rough season. What's he supposed to sound like? I'm not going to be too hard on, you know, for his, you know, the way he sounds on a phone call. But he sounds like a coordinator. He doesn't sound like a head coach. And to me, I think there's a big vacuum, there's a big void with the type of personalities that he's had at coordinator positions in the past, like D'Amico, like Mike McDaniels, like Robert Saleh. I mean, he's had some guys in the building.
Ryan, I hear you were up against it. Sorry to cut this a little short. Mike McDaniel's got a wry sense of humor, and outside of that, nobody even knew who he was until 6 months before he left to go to the Dolphins.
Yep.
And look around the league and some of the great head coaches. I feel like we fall into this trap. You need to sound fiery. Does Andy Reid sound fiery to you? Did Bill Belichick sound fiery to you? They're complete, like, blank white.
Yeah.
They're blank white pieces of paper. And they're the two best coaches of our generation. So I'm not saying I don't want fire, but it's not like a requirement.
No, the requirement is to be good at your job. And I look at a Niner defense that has been less than as good as I think that they should be. And I watch them every single game they play, and it's rushing four. I have an idea. Let's rush four and play 7 yards off every receiver,
yeah.
And then we're going to rally up and tackle. Although you've missed 51 tackles on the year as a team.
We're sponsored by LifeSource Water Systems. There's more of you that want to get in, and we're taking you all the way to the buzzer. Oh, by the way, there's a Warrior game tonight at the Clippers. Do we have Steph in? Steph in?
I don't know yet.
Curry. I don't know.
Stephen Curry.
Steph yes. in
it's
Curry.
It's a 7:30 start.
Yeah,
so
I know. We got a little extra time there. A little extra time. All right, so more of your phone calls coming up. And there is one Warrior who won't play tonight. We'll let you know about that coming up next as well on Willard and Dibbs.
All right, so it's third and long again. This has been where Juwan Jennings has lived today.
They got nobody here at the top of the screen.
Looking in his direction, Jennings again fighting for the sticks, breaking tackles, and getting a first down. What fight from Juwan Jennings. Bunch of the formation at the top on second and goal. Fake to McCaffrey. Bootleg Purdy. Wide open, guess who? Juwan Jennings. Jennings. It had to be Jennings to finish this drive.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
Okay, quick respite from 49ers, and then we've got some more people who want to weigh in, okay?
All right.
And then we got Dubs tonight, E-Dog standing by, right? Warriors live. Grandy, are you doing like a little 30-minute thingamabob? Is that what?
Yeah, we're going to hear from the GOAT, Jerry Rice. He's on with Bonte and Shasky. Awesome. So we'll hear that full thing, and then Ev will take over at 6:30 for Warriors Live.
Jerry was great. Yeah, that'll be great. So check that out if you have not heard it already. And then Warriors Live starts at 6:30, Warriors and Clippers tonight. Kevon Looney is out with illness. Which, by the way, that was kind of funky because Brandon Pajemski was talking about whatever that illness thing he was dealing with.
Right.
He goes, we still don't really know what the hell it was. Like, he said that today. Like, there's some mystery around it. I hope it's not something that they're passing around through everybody. I don't know.
Odds are it is, because when you fly together and spend that much time together in closed doors, no matter what it is, one thing we learned from the pandemic is... A lot of this stuff gets passed around.
Indeed.
Pretty quickly.
I've heard that the disease will travel. Okay.
Try having a two-year-old, by the way.
Been there.
She's had a cold for 2 months. Yeah, me too. Round three.
Exactly.
Nothing changes.
All right. Then there's this. Check this out. Tomorrow, in the baseball world, Juan Soto will meet with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Go Dodgers.
Okay.
I mean, that makes sense, right?
Listen, it's so hard to have this conversation because it's the Dodgers, and so we're going to sound like angry fans. But this is stupid.
The Giants suck.
This is really this would be stupid. And so Alden Gonzalez wrote on Twitter, yes, I'm confirming the Dodgers are meeting with Soto tomorrow. He writes, yes, it would be absurd of them to follow a billion-dollar offseason with a $600 million contract, but Shohei Ohtani's first year in L.A. blew away all their financial projections, and they do need an outfielder. So here's all I'll say. It's legal. They're allowed to. And, boy, I wish my team would behave this way. At the same time, this would really, really turn off a lot of people.
Around here?
Around everywhere.
Probably not L.A.
No.
He'd be a good little seven hitter for them.
I'm talking about like in every other city in America.
Oh, right.
Like look, they can do it. And if that's where he wants to go,
right?
Yay, Juan.
Well, baseball, from a competitive balance standpoint, is more broken than ever. It's been broken forever.
For sure.
And we can pick 8 to 12 teams that have no chance of ever winning unless you have a miracle one-off with drafted players and a free agent who happens to like your town. But the majority of those teams, you have no chance. And so it's the coastal teams, it's the New Yorks, it's the Dodgers, and about 4 other teams, Boston and the occasional Chicago, if they can get their act together, and they haven't in a while. But that's baseball, and that they don't really care about it.
So wait, what would the lineup be? So Mookie.
And then Shohei.
And then Shohei. Or Shohei and then Mookie.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Freeman.
Sure. And then...
And then Soto.
Yeah. Teoscar's got to come pretty soon if he resigns.
Free agent. I think he wants to stay, though.
I mean,
they do need an outfielder.
Yeah, that's just right.
What are we doing?
You got Muncy. You got to hit him somewhere.
Oh, this just in. The Warriors have traded Moses Moody to the Eastern Conference for Joel Embiid, Jason Tatum, and Jaylen Brown. They're all Warriors now.
Okay.
How you feel about it?
I feel pretty good. Okay. I like our second unit. I like the Stephless minutes a little bit more.
Second unit.
All of a sudden, the Stephless minutes, they get a lot better.
Jose in Oakland is on. Hi, Jose. What are you doing?
Hey, guys. How are you? Commuting home after work.
Yep.
You know what?
From my point of view, this thing, it keeps going back to Kyle. I think both Kyle and Sorensen are being victims of the resume, okay? We expect excellency from Kyle. And when he delivers game plans like the one he did yesterday, we all get upset and we all want to get him fired, which at the end of the day is ludicrous because we wouldn't be able to find somebody, you know, right away they would be just as good as him. But he is too stubborn. He refuses to make changes when he has to. His game plans have come to a point where, if I recall correctly, some of the players from the Vikings during the first game said they knew what was coming.
Yep.
Okay. It goes back to the Super Bowl when they played the Chiefs the first time. The Honey Badgers said the same thing. We knew what was coming. What that tells me is that they have a book of his game plans, okay? And when he does not make adjustments at halftime because he feels that his you-know-what doesn't stink, it permeates to the rest of the team. Going back to Sorensen, I mean, we cannot blame Kyle for the breakdowns on the defense during the fourth quarter, but Sorensen, you said you had no idea if he was going to be a good defensive coordinator. Well, he doesn't have a resume, but the one he's putting out there right now is going to guarantee that he's not going to get another chance anytime soon. Unfortunately, he's being a victim of not knowing what to do and not having somebody to show him what he's supposed to be doing. The guy hasn't been a defensive coordinator before. Kyle has his habit of not assuming responsibility for anything. It's always somebody else's fault. It's either the defensive coordinator, the players.
Jose, let me jump in on that. Where did you hear, because this is always fascinating to me, accountability. Kyle blames everyone else. When did you hear Kyle blame players or someone else this week?
This week?
Yeah, or quite frankly, any week.
Okay, let me put it, any other week you want me to bring back that little instance when he blamed the defensive coordinator last week? Last year.
Okay,
all right. He put him on blast.
Yeah.
Okay. This year, I've heard him a couple of times on press interviews when he's blaming them, where the players were not where they were supposed to be. You know, that shows lack of discipline. It goes back to him because he's the man in charge. Okay. You remember what was the mantra for the Patriots for so many years? Do your job. Okay. How can he demand accountability from his players when he refuses to be accountable himself? But then again, you know, the ownership put him on that place where he doesn't have to answer to anybody about the ownership. And the owner does not want to get in the middle of it because he had in the past and it didn't turn out too well. So it's I don't think this is our year. It might change next year, but they're going to have to make some changes as far as the defensive coordinator. Some of the older players are going to have to let go maybe a year too early before it's, you know, rather than a year too late. And as far as the draft, they better draft well, this coming year because it's looking bad.
Yeah, Jose, so what would you say on optimism for the future of this year, yes or no?
Yeah, that's enough for me, Doug.
Okay, thank you very much, Jose. I appreciate it.
That's all we need, Jose. Thank you. Call back anytime, brother.
I mean, come on. Let's get to the point.
That's enough for me, Doug.
Appreciate it.
It's elite. It's elite work right there.
It's the end of the show. Yep. I mean, we could respond to all the other stuff, or we could just have some fun.
Yeah.
You know?
And if you're still on hold and we didn't get to you today, call back tomorrow, because this one is going to be... it's going to be a topic for a long time now. Unless they turn this thing around, these questions that everyone has had, only growing. They're getting bigger and bigger.
Yeah. No, this was the one they couldn't afford. That is my belief. Like, right now, I would pick that the 49ers will not make the playoffs this year.
ESPN has it at 28%.
I can't believe that we're here. Like, yep. I literally can't believe we're here. But yes, I will acknowledge it is unlikely that they make the playoffs this year.
And I was just looking at some odds earlier, and the no on the playoffs is now minus 200.
It's crazy.
So 2-1 odds that they don't. 28% according to ESPN's little metric that they have.
All right, Jerry Rice Grandy's going to take you through it, but you'll hear Jerry Rice from the roast, and then we're about a half hour away from Warriors Live, and the Warriors play the Clippers, and hey, the Warriors, they're good, so that's fun. It's all brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Do you want to do it again tomorrow?
Big time, yeah.
Yeah, I think we should. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.